FM Live with Vance Rogers.
Good morning, everybody. Vance Rogers with pilot John Hogue from San Antonio, Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning, sir.
Well, thank you. And now you sound more official.
It's putting the captain's hat on.
You're putting the captain's hat right back. No, I have been listening the last week, week and a half to podcasts with my nephew, and the two gentlemen who are really, really smart, they actually dub in people laughing in their interviews, in their conversations. I'm like, why are they doing that? Maybe they don't have good laughing voices or something. I don't know. But, John, you and I have shared an interesting history. We met in Hawaii in a hot tub. It was a large hot tub, by the way, because I know people can get misconstrued. I think it was like a 25-seater.
At least. One of those unforgettable moments, too.
Yeah. Well, take us back to that moment, and then we'll get into your story.
Okay. Well, I'll start. You started off earlier with a preacher joke, so I'll start with this. My dad was an only child, and he loved kids. My mother was a professional educator, so I kind of inherited from both of them. And I spent over 30 years working with kids in the church, and two things that I discovered out of it. One is that there are times when a child will say or do something that will remain in your mind the rest of your life. The second thing I learned is that you can tell an awful lot about parents by watching the kids. So we had gone out to Hawaii on this vacation, and my wife and I decided, let's go down to the hot tub. Well, my wife got there before I did, and when I walked up, I look, and here's my wife sitting in this hot tub with this man sitting next to her, and on the other side of him is what I call a little China doll. It's very clear this child is of Asian descent. You can tell that by looking at her, and she's almost 3 years old. So I go and sit down next to my wife. She's already talking to this guy. And while we're talking, this little China doll starts edging her way all the way around the edge of this hot tub till she gets right up next to me, and she looks at me and she says, "You need a bath. Give me your hand." I said, "What?" She says, "Give me your hand." And she grabs my wrist, pulls my arm out, and she takes this cup and dips it in the hot tub and pours it over my hand. And I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. Then she says, "Give me your foot." And well, by then I caught on, so I stuck my foot out. She pours water over. And she says, "Now your head, you know, lean over." Pours water over my head. She goes through my eyes, my nose, and then she says, "Okay, now your tongue. Stick out your tongue." So I stuck my tongue out, and she takes water from that hot tub, pours it on my tongue, and then says, "Okay, you're clean now." And she scoots her way back over next to this guy. And I'm thinking, that's something I'm going to remember the rest of my life, but there's something about these parents. I got to know more about this guy. So we spent a little while talking to Vance, and then we arranged, I don't remember whether it was that night, but we arranged to go to dinner with them and met Stacy and met McKenna. And I said, these are pretty neat people. Well, we go back to our hotel and we're talking. And one of the things that came up in your conversation with us at dinner was all these missionaries that you would support and you would go to wherever they were and spend time with them. And I told my wife, I says, you know, I'm an airline pilot. I can go anywhere in the world for free. I just can't afford it once I get there. I says, I wonder what this guy does that he can afford all this. So we went in and asked him. And I don't know, Vance, if you remember, you did a strength and balance test on my wife. And then you got through with that. You did a different test on me. And one of the things that happened to me in high school was I tore a bunch of ligaments in an ankle. So my ankle was about the size of a grapefruit, and I pointed to it, and I says, hey, would that help with this? And you said yes. You remember that?
Well, I'm hoping I didn't say yes, because first of all, I almost need to apologize for Emily's behavior as a three-year-old, but that's the kind of stuff she used to do all the time. Now
I thought it was almost, great.
Almost as an almost 20-year-old, she's very, very reserved, and oh my goodness, it's just funny, but she does it in a different way and meets people. And when her and I are together, it's almost like we play this game of see who can embarrass the other person the most. And that was one of those chance encounters that I will never forget either, because I always go back to that and say, you know, how do we as members of the Nican family who are trying to, you know, facilitate, or live out the five pillars of wellness. You know, family is one of those, you know, major pillars. But I do remember that energy test with Carmen, and I remember doing it with you, and I don't remember which one we did or how, but I hope my response would have been when you asked, would this help my ankle? I would have hoped I would have said, you know, I don't know, but it might. These products have helped a lot of people.
Well, actually, you were pretty sure of yourself at that point, because you told me, yeah, it'll help.
Okay. So
now,
that's what I
okay.
said then.
But
go ahead.
The thing was, at the time, my dad was in second stage Parkinson's. He's a man of 6'3", and he's taking little shuffle steps about 4 to 6 inches at a time. And my thought was, if it'll help my ankle, then maybe it'll help my dad. And I had a lot of physical problems due to injuries. And tearing the ligaments in my ankle was a major part of that. Because, you know, if you get one part of the body out of balance, it tends to pull other parts out too. So I had chiropractic problems, so my chiropractor loved me. And I don't know if any of you have ever been on an airplane when they had a bad landing. You usually know those when they hit really hard. And rarely ever do you think much about that really smooth landing that comes in. But it really doesn't matter how hard or how smooth you land, because even the smoothest landing is a pounding on your body, because a landing is push. And when you fly bigger airplanes, it's even more of a pounding. And I fly airplanes where when we touch down, the nose and the cockpit's still up in the air, and the main landing gear is 50 to 65 feet behind you hitting the ground, and you're up there, and you get a pounding no matter how smooth you do it. So
I want to ask, before you go there, I want to ask a clarifying question here, because a pilot
okay.
question here, and I'm hoping
sure.
it's actually an intelligent question, because I've always felt in my body with my lower back, because I was young and foolish, not young and dumb. I'm not dumb, but I was younger and foolish when I jumped off a 75-foot waterfall and I injured my lower back. My father would say the same thing. You talked about your dad. He used to race boats and pounding on water. We're constantly putting our bodies through things that they were not designed to do. Kenna, our oldest, six days ago, hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon, a 25-mile hike. And she was describing it to me and saying, Daddy, when we got to the 20-mile mark, we knew we still had to ascend, I can't remember how many thousands of feet, and we hadn't even started walking up yet. She said, that's when I started crying, because I knew what I was yet to put my body through. And she said, Daddy, this was harder than climbing Mount Kilimanjaro when I was 17, and she's 22. And so here's my question. If you're up at the front of the plane as the pilot for Delta Airlines, almost a quarter century now, and you're saying that when we impact, now maybe we don't fly. Maybe some of us don't ever fly. But again, I think it goes back to the stress, because I've never seen when the flight attendants go through the whole, you know, airplane and wake everybody up or say, we're about to land, put your seatbelt on, tray tables up, seat backs up. I've never seen anybody just completely, totally in zen, like totally relaxed. We're always on edge. And I know as a first responder, when you're about to experience a crash, we tense up everything. All those muscles get freaked out. And that produces more injury on the body. So here's my question. If I'm at the back of the plane and I've had the privilege of sitting further in the back, is the impact greater on my body experiencing that?
My guess is it's going to be the same.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you think about it, you're taking potentially hundreds of thousands of pounds. You know, a 767-400 has a maximum takeoff weight of 450,000 pounds. You take something like that that's flying through the air and descending, and suddenly at some point it's going to stop flying because those wheels are going to touch the ground. And you will feel oftentimes yourself settling down. Now, there's areas of the airplane. For example, if you happen to be sitting right over the landing gear, you're probably not going to notice it as much as those people on either end. But it is okay. A pounding on you. And
so because I know we've got people that are like, get to the point.
Okay.
I understand that. So I'm not saying you need to get to the point. The principle here is, You had an ankle injury from a long time ago based on probably your height, your choice of doing all the different things you've done. And here this crazy guy in a hot tub.
Right. And, you know, going back to the point of the pounding on the landing, if you've had any form of past injuries, things that affect you, like I had – neck, back, lower back issues, it stresses that out. So about every 3 months, my back would get so tight that I'd go to the chiropractor about 3 or 4 times, or I could wait a month and throw my back out and go 6 or 7 times. My chiropractors love me. So when you're showing me this stuff in Hawaii, and I'm going, wow, this is great. Now, what I hadn't told you at the time was, also had plantar fasciitis, and I would get up in the mornings, roll out of bed, grab the dresser, and hobble along with my feet so tender on the bottom that I had to get blood flowing through it before I could walk. And when you and I met, I could walk about 30 minutes before I had to sit down and rest my feet. So I don't know if you remember this, but the forerunner to the used to be, what was it, the little power chip we used to use. Remember those?
I think it was like, it was either a mini or a super mini, but again, today it's called a power chip, so that's
right, it's a power chip now. It was a super mini back then. Well, you loaned me one of those, and I thought, wait a minute, this guy doesn't really even know me. He's going back to the West Coast, I'm going back to Texas, and he's loaning me this? Well, on the flight coming home, I was in a lot of pain because every day we're in the pool and my kids would climb on my shoulders and jump off. And when we got home, I thought, I'm going to sleep for about 11 hours just to recoup from all this. Well, I was unpacking my stuff and I found that power chip or that super mini. So I stuck it next to my ankle and put an ACE bandage there to hold it in place. I go to bed, and about 6.5 hours later, I woke up wide awake, and I thought, wow. I jumped out of the bed, and I start walking, you know, through the living room, going to the kitchen, and I stopped in the middle of the living room. I said, wait a minute, something's not right here because my feet aren't tender. I didn't have to hold on to the dresser. Now, this is after 6.5 hours on this thing. So I stuck the thing in my pocket and, you know, started wearing it every day. And about 3 or 4 days later, I was standing in our living room talking with someone, and it felt like somebody just reached over and flipped the switch, and all the pain in my shoulders instantly left. And the next day, it was like somebody flipped the other side of the switch, and all the tightness in my lower back left. I quit seeing the chiropractor. I now only go see him when I do something stupid. So, and
John,
I don't know.
And go ahead.
I don't know what you're like, but I'm on a program to do something stupid every 10 years just to update my tetanus shot.
Well, I would, that's I really, what I wanted to. That's what I wanted to jump in and say, because I'm the same way. And who's to think that a $25, you know, power chip, a $25 magnet, and I don't typically do that. What you don't know, and I've never told you this, is I told Stacy when we got back home to Oregon, and I knew you and Carmen were back in home in Texas, I thought, well, I just wasted that product. I didn't say that as a negative thing, because I thought, we're never going to hear from this guy again. But I did something that we do in business when you own your own business, and that I followed up. I remember calling you or emailing you or some correspondence, and you told me that story like, hey, Vance, I typically would it take me 11 hours to recuperate after doing that with my kids and the flight. And that's what a lot of us don't realize, John. You do this for an occupation. You gallivant all over the globe, and you go through time zones, and that kind of torture on the physical body is intense. And here you're using a $25 magnet on your ankle, and you're getting results. And I want to segue from there right into the rest of your story, the rest of your journey with Nikan. And it's very difficult to share for you to share your story and some of your experiences that you shared with me the other day when we were chatting without making medical claims. And that's a hard one, because you're just sharing your experience. And because you mentioned your dad's Parkinson's, your plantar fasciitis, how many times you go to the chiropractor, and people are going to go, wait a second. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold the phone.
Oh, there is so much more to what Nikan can do for you. And, you know, when I mentioned my dad's Parkinson's, when I first met you and I showed you that ankle, my real thought wasn't about my ankle. It was, would this help my dad? So I sent him a pair of the insoles. And I sent them in October, and then I went up there for Thanksgiving. And Dad and I went out to a store somewhere, and we're walking through the store. He's taking full-size steps for a man of 6'3", keeping right up with, I'm 6'2", and he's keeping right up with me. So I went back and I questioned my mom about it, and she says, well, you know, with Parkinson's, he would sleep a lot. And my parents were always early risers, so Mom would still be up by 6 in the morning and, you know, read the paper, have your coffee. You know, Mom became the email queen, so she spent a few hours there. And about 11 o'clock or so, Dad would finally get up, and she said, I put these insoles in his shoes. And she says, the next morning, she got up, did her coffee, read the newspaper. She's in at her computer. When Dad walks in, and he's fully dressed, he didn't need any help buttoning in his shirt or anything like that, and it's 7:30 in the morning. And he had so much energy, it lasted him all day long. And my mom was a professional educator, so she likes to research things, and she says, I've checked out everything, and the only thing I can think of is it's got to be something in those insoles you said. But within a very short time, he's back to taking full-size steps. And that's from someone who was taking little 4 to 6 inch shuffle steps. So it was,
you know,
a
John,
fantastic experience.
John, I haven't talked to him yet, but I had an experience 2 days ago with a gentleman, and I've forgotten his last name, but his first name is Gary. He wrote a book titled The Upside of MS. And I remember having a conversation with him years ago. He was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. He was an engineer or something at with the military at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And he had to take early retirement because of his diagnosis. But through the process of it, he discovered Niken, and he wrote this book called The Upside of MS and what he's learned. I had totally lost contact with him until the Nature Rest Fit arrived a few days ago. And I'm giving you the very condensed version story because I want to get you to share about your fit experience, but also your experience with water. But I'll never forget what Gary talked about because it parlays exactly into your father's experience. Regardless of what the diagnosis is that we experience from a medical professional, a chiropractor, a naturopathic physician, it doesn't matter. That doesn't necessarily mean that's our lot in life for the rest of our lives. The symptoms that come with that, like you had described your dad, shuffle steps versus making normal strides,
yeah.
to think that a simple pair of insoles could be put in a pair of shoes and impact the body. We don't know. We really don't know. And I'm trying to downplay this, but at the same time, let remind all of us that we never know what's going to happen. Let's talk about hydration if we can. You told me some stories the other day.
I'll give you two stories on that. You inherit things from both parents, and some good, maybe some not so good. I inherited Dad's love for children. But some of the things I inherited were kind of a pain in the rear. One I inherited from my dad. And before I met you, I had, for the last 3 years, been bleeding regularly. I didn't tell my wife about it because I didn't want to worry about it. But every time... And as a pilot, I have to go in for a flight physical every 6 months, but I would also do an annual physical with my regular doctor. And every time I go in, I'd have them check it, and they'd say, oh, it's not bad enough for surgery. Just go use some Tux pads or some Preparation H. Well, I don't know how many of y'all have ever experienced this, but when it flares up, every time you sit down, you feel like you just got stabbed in the rear end. So, we get this water system. I think it was called an aquaphor back then. And I was not a water drinker. I typically drank 5 to 6 Cokes a day. Rarely ever touched water. But I took about 1 or 2 glasses of this water. And the next day, I noticed I wasn't bleeding. Had no pain, no swelling, and that was, 2004, so we're talking 17 years ago. It's never come back. Now, you can draw whatever you want from it. All I can tell you is it never came back, and I went, wow, I only drink 1 or 2 of these glasses of water. Now, when you get into flying airplanes, you hear a lot of terms and definitions, and one term is gross weight. Now, typically that refers to the maximum weight of the airplane, but there's also a DAFI definition of gross weight, and it's called a 300-pound pilot. I hit 267 as my max, but several years ago we went on this cruise. And while we were on the cruise, we went to this seminar that somebody did on it, and they were talking about hydration. And my wife says, we need to go and take the tests, because they were talking about all these various things that your body builds up. Well, you know, back then I looked like I was about 8 months pregnant. And I walk in and they do this test on me. And when they met with us to tell us the results, they said, we've never seen this before, especially in someone your size. Your body is fully hydrated. And she said, we never get anybody that's fully hydrated. And I'm sitting there thinking, Yeah, they don't know what kind of water I'm drinking. And I would only drink one or two glasses a day of it at the time. Now I drink a lot of it. But
John, I'm dying laughing at your gross weight joke, okay? And I had to mute myself because I'm laughing so hard. And but when you talk about soda consumption, the way you described it is you'd start the day with a Coke, or you'd start with coffee, and then you'd have a soda, and then you'd have another soda, and you'd have another soda. You went from drinking no water to drinking a little bit of Nikan water, and now with the waterfall, I know you drink a lot more, but what's your current weight?
Well, it started around 265 two and a half months ago. This morning it was at 221.3.
Okay. Now, that's a 40-pound difference, and I know there's more involved than just water, but if you had a test that said you were hydrated, and we've heard that before. We've seen that. I see it all the time. I watch people pound down unbelievable amounts of bottled water, and they always say they're still thirsty, because we know the difference.
That's true. And I do carry, keep bottled water around, that when I'm out running around in a vehicle, I always take bottled water with me. But you still come out feeling thirsty. But here at home, I drink only the PIMAG water, and we use it for everything, coffee, tea, cooking. And people come into our house and go, what's that thing sitting on your countertop there? I don't tell them what it is. I say, hey, come here, let me show you something. I do a strength and balance test with them, and I'll do the test, and then I'll just have them stick their finger in the water, and then I do the test again. It never fails, and it just blows people away. And then I'll say, here, taste this. I've never had anybody say, boy, this stuff tastes terrible. Everybody's like, wow, this is great.
And I need to remind you, I don't need to remind you. I need to remind everybody else. What state do you live in?
Texas. I mean, don't we all live here?
And if you've never been to Texas, okay, and I'm not picking on members of the Lone Star State, but the water is terrible.
Well, yeah, that's a good way of describing it. If you live in San Antonio, most people, if they're smart, they have water softeners because of all the stuff that's in the water. And then if you drink the water down here, my apologies. but you just can't beat the Nikan water.
Let's wrap up our conversation if we can, John, because you've covered a lot so far. And again, I hope all of us can realize that we're all human beings. But again, you're at I didn't even ask what your current age is.
I am 61.
Okay, so you're a decade ahead of me, well, 8 years to be exact. And again, you and I, we continually do foolish things, put our bodies through things, some occupationally, some for fun, some, we don't know. But we always go back to the fact that we're now doing things to take care of our body. The Nature Rest Fit. Stacey and I have now been on it for 3 nights. I think you and Carmen have been on yours for how many?
Three nights.
Three. Okay. So I briefly spoke with you last night. Anything that you want to say about that product?
Well, let's start with the sleep product itself, because we originally started with the original pads that they used to put on the on top. I think they called it a topper back then. And then they went with the last one just before this Nature Rest. And every time I'd go to a doctor for anything, and they would question me, I said, well, what medications you're on? And I'd go, I don't take any. They said, well, what about over the counter? I said, no, I don't take any. I said, if I'm hurting, I go to bed. Get a good night's rest, I wake up, no pain. That's how impressive some of these products are. Well, my wife and I, we have one of these split king beds, and they're the Posturepedic that, you know, you raise and lower the head of them. You've seen these commercials where in the middle of the night somebody sticks their arm up and they're pressing a control and adjusting the other person's side of the bed. I've caught my wife doing that to me a time or two. She says I snore. You know, I stayed up all night listening one night, didn't hear a thing, so I just think it's her excuse to hit me in the middle of the night. But one of the things, because we have a split king, we each had our own pad on the mattress, and being the weight I was, every time I roll over, the thing would shift. So after a day or two, it's hanging 6 inches off the side. We get in this nature rest, and I looked at it and I says, man, this looks like a fitted sheet. I went and put it on the bed. It was a perfect fit. It hasn't moved since we got it, and I adjust the bed a lot. We'll sit there sometimes watching TV, so I set it up so I can watch TV, or I, you know, if I want to relax and read, I use it like a recliner. It doesn't move. It is so comfortable. I said, it's more comfortable than the other one. When these first came out, I put it in an order for 5 of them because my wife and I have a split king.
And John, I'm hoping you will take the blame for this because currently you and your wife. I'm going to blame you, not Carmen. She's too nice. But you have created a frenzy at Meekin, and now we've sold out. I'm going to call a friend today who wants one, and I'm hoping and praying right now that he has a king size and not a queen because he desperately needs one. I mean, I've already entertained the idea of maybe sending him ours because he needs it so bad because he'll pay me more than I paid for ours. But you ordered 5 of these fits.
I did. Now, our bed is king size, but it's a split king. So you have to have a split king is 2 extra long twin beds put together. So you need one for each side. We got this split king after my daughter and son-in-law got a split king. And then my son and daughter-in-law have a king. And I've been, when this came out, I was so impressed with past history with Meekin sleep products that I said, I'm going to invest in my kids for them to have a good night's sleep. So I ordered a king size for my son and daughter-in-law and 2 of the little twin size for my daughter and son-in-law because they had the split king. And then my wife and I had the split king. So I took 2 days ago, I took the king over to my son's place. Haven't heard back from them yet if they used it. And then my daughter and son-in-law live about 300 miles from us, and we're going to go up there here in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to take them, the 2 twins. But one of the things I loved about it, when you're talking about a split king, if you're doing that as a twin-size bed, it has to be an extra-long twin. So if you're buying sheets for it, you got to get the extra-long sheets. Well, when this came in, my concern was you order it and it just says twin on it. And you're thinking that's a normal size twin. It's actually the size of the extra long twin. It was a perfect fit. And it's a fitted sheet. I already knew about the magnetics and what they would do to your body. I wasn't as familiar with tourmaline. But I said, man, you start mixing these two in something that is extremely comfortable. It doesn't shift around like my other one did. I said, you can't beat this. Now, I say that, you know Nikon's going to come up later and beat it with a newer product, but that may be a while down the road.
I keep thinking about the fact that you mentioned several things. You trust the research and development. We very few of us understand. Maybe some of us do. You know, and I this is a simple illustration, but I got a whole mess of, I mean, when I tell you a mess, I got a whole mess of, you know, as they say down in Texas in the South, a bunch of goat's milk soap the other day. And I don't know how soap works, but I know when you combine soap with aroma, you know, spices and different herbs, and this one's got lavender in it, and but when you put goat's milk into soap, it really is a game changer. It lathers up, and but you don't, your skin doesn't feel stripped. My point is simply this: as you just said, we may not even know what's going on in our bodies when we subject them to magnetics and tourmaline. One of these days, I'm going to figure out how to pronounce that, by the way, too. But why don't we just go to bed, like you just said? And I like the way you said, you know, you go to bed and you wake up and you're pain free. You're not hurting anymore. And I don't want to correct what you said, but just remind people that you also said earlier that over the years you've inherited this pain in the butt from your dad. You think
I've
experienced that too, and it's from my dad's family because nobody in my mom's family has ever experienced that. And mine's usually stress induced because I can go back in points of my life and point out and just say, yeah, when we were, you know, trying to get all the documents together for closing on our house or, you know, whatever, that's usually when it happens. But I figured out some Nikan solutions, and I'm not going to get into the details of that because I just won't. But usually within about 48 hours, it just goes away because I stop and go, wait a second. A healthy mind is that second pillar, and I need to calm down and wait a second, not get so stressed. John, I want to finish our conversation because you've given me so much to reflect back on, but I want to finish with this. Because again, it's been a long journey for you of using these solutions as a pilot. Again, I want to stress because you could, most pilots, and you said something to me when we first met about a study that the FAA was doing about pilots who normally push the retirement, because most pilots, I think you told me, don't go all the way to 65. And I don't know if you remember these statistics or not, but what it does on the body and what I've been hearing you talk about. Okay, can you allude to that? Let's finish our conversation with that, because I think it's really fascinating.
Okay. As you know, in studying the Earth's magnetic field, it loses strength the further you get away from it. If you live in a two-story house and you're on the second floor, you're not getting as much out of the Earth's magnetic field if you were out just walking on the ground. As a pilot, I take off and I climb to between 7 and 8 miles above the Earth's surface. You're up closer to the sun at that point and farther from the Earth's magnetic field, and it tends to age people. A lot of people don't know this, but remember, well, you're too young to remember this, Vance, but back in the 1950s when the space race started, Yuri Gagarin was the first Russian cosmonaut to go in space. He orbited the Earth once. He comes back down and they run medical tests, and the first thing they discovered is his body had aged, and they couldn't explain it. The U.S. starts studying this, and they discovered it's because he's so high above the Earth's magnetic field, it aged his body. So before we sent our first astronauts into space, we lined the spacecraft with magnetic shields. So one of the things I noticed, particularly with pilots that fly international, where we're up there for 8, 9, 10 hours at a time, is they tend to age. And a lot of them, they tend to have things like melanomas, other types of cancers from being closer to the sun and outside the Earth's magnetic field. And I don't see that in me. I wear a power chip in my pocket at all times. You know, with the insoles, I think the way you explained it to me when we first got them was you're supposed to cut it out to fit the shoe, and then you move it from one pair of shoes to another. Well, I'm basically lazy. I said, I can't do that, so I just bought a pair for every pair of shoes I own, and I probably own more shoes than my wife does. Every one of my shoes has a pair of Nikon insoles in them. But I see
John, I gotta stop. I could never figure out why you had so many pairs of insoles on your auto ship order. I never could figure that out.
That's why. And when my, well, what happened with my ankle after I tore the ligaments, that makes the ligaments on the outside is where I tore them, and they're stretched. And back then, medical technology wasn't what it is today. Today, they would have gone in and done immediate surgery to reattach. Back then, they threw you in a cast for 6 weeks and let it heal on its own. Well, that left those outside ligaments stretched and not as tight as the inside. So if you can just imagine the way they pull, you got one side pulling more than the other, my ankle starts to rotate to the inside. And I would, because of my ankle, I had to have good shoes that were, gave me a lot of support. I would go buy a pair of shoes, and in about 5 to 6 months, I'm throwing them away. Now, the left shoe was great, but the right one, if you look at the heel, it was like somebody just cut it at an angle because I was walking on the outside edge of the shoe. And so I keep lots of shoes around. Now, the interesting thing about this ankle, it took nearly 40 years, but I'd gone to see this orthopedic surgeon, and he looked at it, and he said, well, I don't think it's bad enough for surgery. He says, when the pain gets so bad that you can't stand it, you're going to come to me and tell me you want to do surgery on it. Well, at the time, it was rotated about 10 degrees in the socket. It was bone on bone. I walked bone on bone for over 3 years. I never had any pain with it. And so I'm not contacting the guy because I'm not having any pain. But it's wearing the socket out. Well, I set it up. I was supposed to go do physical therapy to try and strengthen it. And I'm standing in my house one day without shoes and socks on. My wife looks at it and says, you know, I can tell that thing's getting worse, and I'm afraid one of these days you're going to take a step and it's going to collapse on you and you're going to fall and I can't lift you up. And my response was, I looked at her and said, you need to go back to the gym. Now, for those of you who don't understand that, I'm 6'2". My wife is 4'8". So, but
I was hoping you were going to explain that.
But I was supposed to go in the next day for my first rehab session on it. Instead, I called them and canceled it, and I called that orthopedic surgeon and said, I think we want to do the surgery. I now have this wonderful titanium ankle. I said, the ankle's worth more than I am. Yeah, I went to the dentist yesterday. It turns out I got a cracked tooth. And he's taking pictures of it. And I looked at the picture. I says, hey, that filling right there, is that real silver? He says, nope, there's no silver in it. I said, oh, man, I was trying to add up all the parts that my wife needed to save once something happens to me. And I just found out that nothing in my mouth is worth anything. But my ankle is. But since having this ankle done, that totally changed my life right there. But when I had it done, before you have the surgery done, they give you a prescription for painkillers to take after the surgery. So the morning of the surgery, the anesthesiologist came in, and I'm talking to him about these. I said, you know, I never take pain pills. And he says, well, I want you to take them at least for the first 2 days, according to what's written on the bottle. So I took them for 2 days according to what's written on the bottle, and the rest of them are sitting in my cabinet. And that's been 3.5 years ago. I never had any pain with this surgery. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever looked into a, they call it an arthroplasty. It's an artificial joint. You know, you hear of people that have a hip replacement or a knee replacement. I had an ankle replacement. And Vance, they now do ankles, knees, hips, and shoulders, and I put my deposit down for when they get to the brain.
I knew you were going to go there. I know you so well, and I'm thinking, you know, both of us need to keep our day jobs because we're not, our wives will say you're not going to make it on the comedy circuit, but maybe we could. Maybe we should. She lovingly yelled at me last night for making a poor choice, and she said, "Why did you have to do that tonight?" And I said, "Because I could." And
that's
I'm
right.
Going, yeah, because we can. We do that. John, you have opened up so many cans of worms that. But I want to remind everybody who's maybe new to Nikan, we don't make any medical claims. We never will. John, you have used the word pain. I lost count at like 10, and it's okay. But my point is simply this, that pain is often the side effect or the symptom, and that's the way we describe it. Other words are agony or level 10 on the pain scale. You know, 1 being nothing, 10 being, you know, really, really bad. And the results you've had with Nikan are very common. They're not 100% guaranteed. We don't make any guarantees. Nikan guarantees, you know, for workmanship and defects of the product, which I'm very impressed with how those keep getting longer and longer and longer, that if it falls apart or something goes south, they guarantee it. And you've utilized a lot of the products for a lot of different things. Your kids are utilizing it, as in our kids. And I want to go full circle back to that chance encounter in a hot tub. And again, it was the Hilton
Hawaiian Village.
Yeah.
And it's a big compound. So.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. We could have missed each other. We could have totally each other.
And I have, there's no doubt in my mind that God orchestrated that meeting. And the one comment I'll make to people about Nikan, whether you do it as a business or whether you're just taking the product, always start with yourself. Do it for yourself. And if it works for you, other people are going to start saying, "How'd you do that?" And it's a great opportunity to say, "Well, let me tell you about this product I got introduced to." So,
John, I can't wrap it up any better than that. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I really, really appreciate you. You had asked me last night when we talked for just a couple minutes, how much time are we going to take? And I also appreciate the fact that you called his title, but when you and I spoke a few weeks ago, you called to get permission to actually have this conversation, and that speaks volumes.
Yes, and you know, my experience with it, because of the level of injuries I've had in the past, it's done wonders for me. My wife hasn't had those kind of injuries. Now, she's had other areas where it's helped her. And I don't know if you remember when you sent us to the, one of the training seminars they did. And it was over in a hotel in Houston, and it was in this huge conference room. We go there for the weekend and come back. My wife looks at me and says, "I didn't have any allergy problems when I was there." And the only difference we could see was this room could have easily set, 500 or 600 people in it. And they had 2 of the air filtration machines, one caddy corner across from the other, running in the room. And that's the only difference they had. And my wife said, "I didn't have any allergy problems. She's got bad ones." We now have 2 air filtration systems, one sitting in our bedroom and then one in the, we have an open living room, kitchen, dining room area, and there's one sitting in that. And it just, does wonders for her allergies.
And that's one of the things. And again, that's a product we actually can claim because it says in the manual that you order this thing, you invest in it. I think that's the word you used. You make an investment in yourself and you plug it in, you let it do its thing. And it's just, Kenna has that same thing. We have an air unit, an air unit in every bedroom for a variety of reasons, but she's allergic, our oldest, to spring, summer, and fall. And everything that blooms and blossoms during those three seasons. So we have jokingly said, hey, kiddo, you need to move to Siberia or way north Alaska.
No. Send her to Texas. Nothing blooms down here. I tell everybody that comes in from the Northeast that talks about all the beautiful colors in the changes in the seasons. I said, where I live, we have two seasonal colors, light brown and dark brown.
Oh, my goodness. John, we have to wrap this up for the sake of time.
Okay.
Because, but again, I really, really do appreciate you doing this. And for folks, if you want to share John's story, his journey as a professional pilot, because I think there's so many applications that we can learn. Maybe you don't get on a plane. Maybe you don't even, you're thinking, go out of the country. I'm not even going to leave my own county, let alone, you know, get on a plane to go someplace, especially with everything that's going on in the world. Maybe you just stay at home. And I think John's given us a lot of advice for maximizing that and what he's done, both he and his wife Carmen and their kids. You make an investment. So, but SaturdayAMLive.com. SaturdayAMLive.com is where this conversation and all the other conversations we have get posted. So, John Hoag, professional pilot with Delta Airlines, thank you again and again and again.
It's been a pleasure.
So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.